Put it on it.
Will it heat it up?
Yes. Yeah. It was very, very, that's what your company make?
Mm-hmm. We make all sorts of sandwiches and soups and stuff like that.
So it's like a, is it like a cafe? I mean, like you go and sit and eat in there too?
Yeah.
It's a restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Small, but yeah, we can indoor seating, outdoor seating.
Oh, indoors and outdoors? Oh, nice.
We're busy all the time.
Are you guys open 24 hours a day?
No.
Oh.
We're open every day.
Every day?
Mm-hmm.
Are they ready?
Just about.
Did you have fun when you did the soup challenge, Jesse?
No. Oh, yeah. That was funny. Did y'all see that?
My favorite part was when he told, he's like, oh, they'll use the same napkin to wipe your face. And you're like, yes, Mom.
It was, we did this heat challenge on Joel's show.
Spicy
what?
Spicy noodle challenge.
And it was a mess. I didn't realize how much Nick was suffering because I could not see it. We could barely see it behind the board there. Good morning. Welcome to Fellowship. I'm Jesse Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. You can get involved by going to our YouTube chat line, and Hake will pass your questions or comments on to me. I do appreciate it. Good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
So, we got a lot to talk about this morning. I don't even know where to start first. I think I'll start with the men's meeting. So I gave a couple of the guys a couple assignment without going deeply into what the meeting was about. I gave three guys an assignment, right? Did you do the assignment?
Yeah, I believe so.
And what did you realize? What was it? What was the assignment itself?
You told me three things. One was, oh man, I'm blanking now. Do the silent prayer, watch your thoughts, particularly around anger. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the other two things we talked about.
So did you do any of them?
Yeah, I've been doing the silent prayer. I find that there's a raving lunatic that lives inside my head,
yeah.
Largely rent-free.
Yeah.
He's been my buddy for a few decades. He's not a great friend.
Are you learning how to deal with them?
I'm starting to.
And how?
Just watch him and let him do his little thing.
Yeah.
And eventually he gets bored of me not reacting, it seems like.
Right. Yeah, stay with that. Amazing. Did you do the assignment?
Not really, no.
And why not?
I don't really remember what the assignment was, but... I know one of the things, like you were mentioning, like when I interact with other people, and I haven't interacted with anybody since.
You have not.
Yeah, so I've been, keep it to myself, just in my own world, and it's been all right.
You tried to avoided people since then.
I wouldn't say I avoided people, but I didn't go out my way to try to, do anything. But I mean, I have thought about. What we talked about, and I'm just like, okay, well, I have played scenarios in my head, like in the future, and I know it's probably not good, but I'm like, well, I know that the way that I've been reacting in the past, I don't want to continue doing that. So I would just like play around, like, different scenarios, like, all right, I'm not going to do that, but hopefully I don't feel this way when I, choose the right path.
So you play around in your head how you're going to do the future?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
And why do you do that?
I don't know. I feel like I'm not like really like a witty person. I don't know. You know what that means?
Funny?
Yeah, I
you
guess
said
funny.
Witty, right?
Huh?
Witty?
like witty, like, yeah, like, you know, certain scenarios, I just want to be able to, like, be prepared to, like, say certain things.
Right.
And I'm never like that. So, yeah, I do. Like, I you know, I do play certain scenarios to, you know, try to prepare myself, you know, to be ready to say something, you know, whether mostly good, but yeah.
And does it work? Will you prepare yourself to say?
No, not really.
So why keep doing it if it doesn't work?
Because it's better than doing nothing, I think.
It's better than doing nothing?
Yeah, because I've been in situations where, like, I don't have anything to say, and it's just like, dang, like, if I would have prepared, if I would have prepared, maybe I would have had something, you know, something to say.
If you would have prepared, maybe you would have had something to say?
Yeah.
But prepared is not working?
It's not. It's not.
So if prepared is not working, why keep preparing? Why do you have to have something to say?
Because you just want to, I don't know, I guess I live in my head and I want to, like, you know, you just imagine certain things, like you know, just being on top of your game, you know, like when you, like when I watch a show, like, you know, when I watch the Fallen State particular, you know, like you're able to go back and forth with your guests and you have good dialogue and stuff like that.
But that's because I have nothing prepared.
Yeah, okay.
If I prepared some, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't you try living unprepared?
Okay, I could do that.
Will you give that a try?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, that's your assignment.
All right.
Until the next men meeting, live an unprepared life.
Okay.
So don't go in your head and prepare how you're going to say or what you're going to say or what you're going to do.
I just did it right now. I don't know.
You did what?
Like, I just, like, I looked into the future. Like, right now, like I looked for Sean. I was like, okay, I want to, like, when I hand the mic off, I want to be prepared to, like, give the mic to Sean. And I don't know. I'm weird like that.
When you get over that, you got to start catching it, but don't do it.
Okay.
Just to catch it.
All right? Yes, sir.
So everybody hear the assignment for him and came with me. I want, until the next men meeting, which is, this is April, May, the first Thursday of May, I want you to live an unprepared life.
Yeah, don't tell me that, Jesse. I'm really going to be a mess, but nah, I hear you. I feel you. I feel you. I got you.
That made you nervous?
No, it don't make me nervous, but it's just like the devil tells me, like, yeah, okay, I can just do whatever I want, you know?
You're
like,
doing that anyway.
I am, but, yeah.
I'm trying to tell you what, so you won't do it.
Okay.
You like listening to the devil?
I don't want to say I like it, but.
You love it.
No, I don't want to say that either, but yeah.
You love worshiping the devil?
I love it, worshiping the devil.
Listening to him.
I do. I mean, I'm overcoming it, right? I'm trying to overcome it, but yeah,
Amazing. So you love it. You don't want to, you say you do want to?
I do want to overcome
it. Okay,
so
overcome it by not listening to him.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So your assignment is, I know the devil tell you, oh, he's telling you don't be prepared for anything. You're going to fall apart, right? But you're already falling apart. You prepare to get up and go to work. You prepare for that kind of stuff. But as far as living the future, don't prepare. Okay? And did you remember what I told you?
I just checked. I wrote it down that day.
And did you do it?
Mm-hmm.
And what was it?
To not communicate with the devil. To not lash out.
Right.
And to just take it.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
Give me an example of what happened.
So the next morning after the meeting, I saw that my dog did the same thing, like made a mess in the living room, and I didn't get angry at the dog. I just let it happen. I kind of cleaned everything, moved it to the side, and then I ignored the dog completely. And then last night, she jumped on the table, the kitchen table, and started eating some porridge that my grandmother made. And I didn't overreact like I usually do. I took her off, and And that's it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Which felt better, overreacting or non-overreaction? Or not overreacting?
I think not overreacting felt better. Yeah.
I want you to stay with that, practice that with your parents and everybody.
Okay.
All right? Amazing. Okay. I want to talk about I want to define the devil. Oh, we're supposed to be dealing with last week, not this week, but last week. What was it? Week before last, biblical question.
What do you value?
What do you value? Was it in life or just what do you value? Do you remember, hey? What do you value in life? And what do you value in life?
I'd say I value my getting to know God, you know, my relationship with Him, now that I'm getting to know who He is for the first time, and my family.
And why do you value getting to know God?
Because He's nothing like what I thought.
And what is He like?
I'm learning that. I'm learning it. I'm learning what He is, but He isn't what I've been taught all these years, or all the years that I was proclaiming to be a Christian, right, which is this judgmental being that I should fear. I'm still discovering who He is, but I value, I think a better way of expressing what I'm wanting to say is I value getting to know Him.
And what do you know about Him?
That if I, or when I do the silent prayer, I don't have to worry about anything, that he literally leads and guides everything I do when I remain present and do the silent prayer. Like I literally feel, and it's easy to say this, but it's difficult to do, but I feel like I literally don't have to do anything except, like you say, what's right in front of me, and I've been practicing that, and in that, I've been experiencing it's not literal magic, but it feels like magic in terms of how things work out without me putting my hands on it at all.
And then you say you value your family?
Did
you say family?
Yes.
And what do you mean by that?
I appreciate my family. I mean, I know that you say no one has love and that sort of thing, and I do agree with what you're saying. I know that the love that we have comes through God. But however, that being said, I appreciate my relationship with my brothers and my dad. I mean, they're like my friends. If I were not related to them, I would want to hang out with them.
And how do you know you value them?
How do I know I value them is, I respect them. My level of respect for them, I would say. Like I have a certain reverence for them.
And why do you value them?
Why do I value them? Because I think they're all great. I think they're all good examples of what a man is. You know, I just remember my brothers being very protective. My dad, you know, meeting all of my, you know, needs and showing me what I should expect from a spouse when I would get married, and just teaching me those things very early on.
And so if they didn't show you those things, would you still value them?
Okay. I don't know. That's a great question. I'm not sure. So I guess, are you saying that I don't value them, really?
That was a question.
Okay.
Amazing.
It is. That's a great question. And I guess this goes back to what you say about how we use one another. Like, we really, our relationships are a culmination of two humans using one another, is what it boils down to, is what I'm feeling right now, or is what I'm gathering.
Right now?
I kind of had an aha moment. And so I don't probably wouldn't value them. I wouldn't have anything to value, probably.
So you really don't value them because they're not doing anything for you.
Well, they're not necessarily doing anything for me now, though.
But you said
and I still
your
feel
daddy
like
taught you, your father taught you how to, what a man is, and husband, and your brother did this and that. So they did give you some that you thought were worth value.
Right.
Had they not given you anything, would you still value them?
Well, that's a deep question because I probably wouldn't even, I wouldn't know what, so what is value, pretty much, is the what I'm wondering now. Like, because if they didn't do those things, I wouldn't, it's a word. It's, value is a word. So, I don't know, Jesse. Probably not, because I wouldn't know what value is. And I don't even know if I know what value is now because I'm basing it on something that someone told me it is. So I would say that in answer to your question, probably not, because I wouldn't know what value is.
But how do you know what value is now?
That's exactly, yeah, I get it.
No,
I
that
totally
was a question.
Understand. I... Right, I probably don't.
That was the question.
I hear you do this on the show all the time. And I'm like, he will never have to ask me that because I will always be on point. But yeah, that's good. I don't. No, I don't.
You
I don't even
what?
Know what. I don't think there is no. I don't know. The answer to your question.
You don't know what?
The answer to your question.
So you don't know if you value them or not?
Mm-mm. I don't know.
One
honestly.
Last question. If those same guy got up every morning and cussed you out and called you the B word, would you still value them? Especially if they call it the B word. Would that be? Would you still value them?
Oh my gosh.
That's no, same
so
as that people that you
imagine.
Have all this value for right now.
I probably wouldn't.
So it's about you and not about them.
Yeah.
So you don't value
it.
Them.
Right. That's what it was. Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. I'm getting it right now. Seriously.
And what are you getting?
That it's just another made up word. And it's a concept that someone passed on that really has no meaning, like everything else, which is what makes this so complex and what makes it sometimes overwhelming because it's like, I don't know anything. I realize I don't know anything. So, yeah, thank you.
Words are very deceiving.
Yeah.
That's why we have to overcome words. Very deceiving.
Yeah.
Amazing, huh?
It is.
So now you can go on with your little value. Oh, man. Yes, sir.
I don't think. I'm sorry. I disagree, but
that's
I don't
fine,
think.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that
you disagree with me or her.
I disagree with you.
Oh, okay.
And I don't think that her value for relatives, family, whatever, has to be dependent upon them not bringing something to the table. Because it's not, I mean, any healthy relationship should be reciprocating.
Meaning what?
Like, I don't want to simplify it to like, I scratch your back, you scratch my back.
Right.
But it's kind of like that, but it's deeper. It's kind of like, if you're truly in a relationship with people And I say this because I don't have the type of like family that you know maybe she has, or I hope she doesn't have a family like the one I have. But you know, I don't think that you know if it's not reciprocated, then it's not good. You shouldn't be in that type of relationship with people if they don't have any desire to reciprocate.
Meaning that if it's not a give and take relationship?
Yeah. I mean, it's only normal for, you know, if you love on somebody, they should love back on you. It shouldn't be you love on them and they hate on you. That's not right. That's wrong.
And why is that wrong?
Because God calls everybody to love.
Right, but nobody loves.
No, God loves. God is love.
Right, but nobody loves.
God showed us. He demonstrated that he is love, and that he demonstrated that he's able to love. And now when the Holy Spirit lives in us, now we're also able to love others just like he does.
So if you love your wife, you would expect your wife to love you back?
Of course.
And why?
Because, I mean, if we're equally yoked, then we're both children of God, and if we're both children of God, the fruit of the Spirit is love, and we should both love each other.
But if you're of God and you already have love, why do you need love back?
Because God commanded us to love one another.
Right, but love is to not need one another love back.
I don't agree with that.
Why not?
Because the Scripture commands us to love one another. To love your neighbor as you love yourself. You're
right.
Supposed to love, you have to love, first love God, love yourself, and now you're able to love your neighbor, your relative, your spouse.
Do you love your neighbor?
Well, that's a very good, there's a lot going on, so that's just opening a bag of worms. But I don't want it to be about the drama that's currently transpiring. But I don't think I can say that I do.
Are you a Christian?
Yeah.
Do you love God?
Yes.
So how can you love God and not your neighbor? You said God said love your neighbor.
Yeah, no, it's a commandment and. That's something that I have to grow in.
Grow in what?
I have to grow in love. For
what made you think you love God and don't love your neighbor?
Because I know God and I have a relationship with God.
Have that relationship with God of love but not love your neighbor? He even said you should love your enemy.
Yeah, he did.
So it sounds like you're dealing with a bunch of enemies right now in the family or something. It sounds that way.
Yeah.
But you don't love them while dealing with them in this way?
I don't know. Sometimes, you know, sometimes I feel like I do. Sometimes I feel like I don't. So it's kind of difficult, you know, because, you know, you keep doing acts of love and they keep showing you that they don't appreciate you or anything that you do or they don't reciprocate in any way. So.
And when they don't reciprocate, you don't love them?
I don't know. Like I said, sometimes I feel like I do, sometimes I feel like I don't.
And do you feel the same way about with God love too?
Well, God did for me what no one could do, and he sent his son to die for me. So
I'm sorry?
God sent his son to die for me.
So do you sometimes love him and sometimes you don't?
I feel that's how I feel sometimes.
Like sometimes you love God, sometimes you don't?
Yeah.
And it is because he does things to you at times that you don't like?
It's because prayers, you know, that don't get answered and, you know, things like that, so.
So you love God, but then when you pray to him and he doesn't answer your prayer, you say, I don't love you?
No, I don't say that, but
you just know
sometimes
you don't
I
love
feel
him.
That.
And so what is love?
Love is unconditional. It's an action.
So If love is unconditional, why don't you love God even when he doesn't answer your prayers?
Well, God is the only one that loves perfectly and right. unconditionally.
So why don't you love him when he does? If you got you of him, right? Why don't you love him when he doesn't answer
your prayers? Because I'm not perfect. I'm not perfected in love the way God is.
So you don't love him?
Well, I don't know if that's accurate because, like I said, there's reaching a level of perfection in your love. And God loves perfectly, and we're coming along growing in that.
So then you don't have love?
No, see, I think you're making it like it's either black and white or
it is
all
black
or nothing.
And white.
But I think there's different degrees of growing in the love of God.
Oh. Amazing. So why do you think God does not answer your prayers at times?
Well, God's ways are higher than our ways. And I don't understand why. I really have no idea.
Want me to tell you why? May I?
Sure.
Because you're praying to the devil. And you're calling him God.
No, I don't think that's correct.
But then why do you think they're not being answered?
God doesn't have to. I mean, God does answer.
All
God,
the time
God does.
He
correction. God does answer the prayers that we pray, but it's sometimes it's in the affirmative, and sometimes it's the negative.
What does that mean?
And sometimes God answers us by saying yes to our prayer requests, and other times He says no.
And God other has times, never said no to your prayer. That's the devil.
No, that's.
I promise you, it's the devil.
I don't agree with that.
Then why you think he doesn't? Who told you sometimes he answers affirmative? Where you get that from?
I would have to try to find some scriptures to, if you want me to give examples. I didn't bring my Bible with me today, but I'm pretty sure there's, you know, you could find evidence in scripture where God didn't always answer prayers.
If you stop praying to God, He'll answer your prayers.
What?
If you stop praying to God, He will answer your prayers.
I don't think that's how it works. I think if you stop praying to God, then He won't have prayers to answer. If you're not praying.
He will have prayers to answer if you stop asking. Because the way you're doing it is not working. Look at your family. Nobody loves you. You give it out all this love. They won't reciprocate. And you ask God some things. He won't even answer. And it can't get any worse. Why not let go?
Well, the Bible says to pray without ceasing.
Right. But that doesn't mean you're up there praying and begging. It means stay aware, stay present, stay conscious with God. When you're right here with God all the time instead of living your imagination, your prayers are being answered. And you're praying without ceasing. But when you're thinking about the past or the future, you're with the devil. There is no past or future in God. It's only in the devil. So prayer without ceasing means to always be aware. And plus he said you don't know what to ask for anyway. Remember, isn't that in the word?
Well, sometimes you ask for what you want, I guess. But
did he say that you don't know what to ask for? You don't know what you want.
I don't know. I think I know what I want lots of times. So
he lied about that?
Well, what scripture is that?
It's in the Bible.
Like
he
chapter
said,
and verse.
We do not know what you want. We don't know what we need. We don't know what we want. So be still and know him.
I don't know what book of the Bible you're talking about or what chapter or verse.
Well, when you go back home, you'll find it. It's in there. You know not what to ask for. You know not what you want. So when you ask a mist. It's vanity. Because even in your asking, it's all about you. It's ego. What?
I don't know. I'm speechless. I guess I'm out of words.
Well, okay. We'll come back to you.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I saw your hand, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I just had a question because there's a lot of times that
I'm glad this speaker up today. I can finally hear the quiet one.
There's been many times that I've heard people easily say that they know who God is and that they assume that people, just because they say they know God and that they love them, that they are true in that. But I feel like just because somebody says that they have God's love and that they know God doesn't mean that they actually know them. But how do I know if somebody, like, I don't know if I'll ever know that. So I guess I'm asking both of you, why are you so sure that you know people are actually mean what they say when they say they know God or that they have God's love to give?
That's a good question.
Hold on, put a mic. Take this one behind you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good question that I'm not sure I know the answer to right away. I would have to think about it.
Yeah, and people are easy to throw God's name out there, especially with my generation. I feel like people are kind of accepting God's name into their lives and just talking about it. And I've tried to ask them what they mean by that. And most times people don't actually know what they mean. And I've just been trying to really ask these questions and understand what people actually mean. Because I feel like people talk and we don't understand, but we say we do. And I really am trying to understand what other people are saying. So this is just why I'm asking.
Yeah, I've thought that too, you know, because there's a lot of people that say that they, you know, serve God, but then they're doing, you know, like crazy things or evil things. So
how do you know if somebody ever really means what they say when they say, I know God and I know how to love you through God's love?
I guess it's by the fruit that comes out of their life, right?
Right now, it's not like you're having problems with your family, right? You don't have to get all into it. But you don't love them during these problem times.
I don't know. I don't know if that's accurate, though, because
do you love them?
Love is an action, right? So I keep doing what's right. I keep doing the things that I know need to be done, even though.
But do you love them?
Well, if love is an action, then I have to say, well, probably the answer would be yes.
So you love them during this time?
Because I keep doing the things that...
But you're doing that for you because you want something. You're not doing it for them. You're doing it for you because you want them to do unto you what you're doing to them.
Well, I know they're not going to reciprocate, so that can't be the reason.
So why don't you stop then? So you won't be mad at them? Are you mad at them?
Sometimes, yeah.
So you don't love them then?
No, you can be mad at somebody and love them.
No. I mean, you can feel that emotional love, but anyone that you're mad at, you're hating them. You're not loving them. And anyone that has hate has angers of their father, the devil.
Well, I don't know what scripture you're referring to. I've never read a scripture that says that if you're mad at somebody that you hate them.
Is mad love?
No, mad is a human
emotion.
Is anger
love?
Anger is a human emotion that you can have whether you love someone or hate someone.
You're right. You're right. It's a human emotion, but it's not God emotion.
Even God is angry.
Because human emotion is of the devil.
It says God is angry with the wicked every day.
But not human anger.
Well, yeah, but anger is, you know, we come from God, so we have anger. God has anger.
God is mad at the wicked every day, meaning that he's not mad at you. He doesn't like the evil that's in you.
And we can be angry at people because they do evil things.
No, there's never a reason for you to be angry. No matter what happens.
It says in the Bible, be angry, but sin not.
But
so
you're
it says,
sinning in your anger because you have human anger.
No, it says to be angry, but sin not, but don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So if you hold onto your anger too long, then it becomes sin.
Amazing. And that's what you do?
I try not to hold on to it.
But do you hold on to it? You lay down with it and wake up with it?
Sometimes.
But you don't even know what the Bible tells you.
Well, I know I'm not perfect. I know that I need a Savior. That's why.
Why don't you say you were already hooked up with God?
Yeah, I am.
So you have a Savior.
Yeah.
But he hasn't saved you yet.
No, I'm just saying that I know that I needed a Savior. That's why, you know, I came to the foot of the cross.
And so you have the Savior?
Yes.
But he hasn't saved you?
Yes, he has.
But then you still get, you laid out angry and wake up angry.
I'm not, like I said, I'm not perfect, so.
But what you don't know is that anger is not you. That's why you're laying down and getting up with it. You think it's you, and it's not. It's the spirit that made a home in your mind and emotion, and you call it you, but it's not you. And that's why you're not overcoming it. You have identified with the devil thinking that it's you. And so God is not mad at you. He destroyed this not you, but you give it life by overreacting to it, calling it you, the spirit of evil. Did you go and forgive your mother yet?
If things could change, then, you know, it would be easier to do that.
If things could change, it would be easier to forgive your mother?
Right, but nothing changes.
And so have you gone and forgiven her?
I'm not sure.
Have you gone and forgiven your mother?
I'm not sure.
Have you gone and forgiven your mother?
I don't know.
Have you gone and forgiven your mother? He did like this. Have you gone and forgiven your mother?
Not sure.
You don't know if you've gone and forgiven your mother or not?
No.
I'm sorry?
No, I'm not sure.
Why are you not sure if you went and forgave your mother? How can that be? Either you went and forgave her or you didn't go and forgive her. And you said if things change, you could do it, but things hasn't changed, so you can't do it. You want to be free of your hell? You're living in hell. Do you want to be free of your hell? I can't hear you.
Yeah.
I can't hear you.
Yeah.
Go forgive your mother and your father. Forgive your mother for turning away from your father and impose her will. She couldn't help it. Her mother did it to her. And realize, just like you can't help yourself, this thing controlling you, it's controlling her too. And when you forgive her, God will forgive you. And she doesn't have to change at all. Leave her in her hell. I'm sorry for resenting you, mother. I realize now you couldn't help yourself. And God will forgive you. Then you start to wake up and see what's really going on. But you got to face your mother, and she doesn't have to change. Because it's you living in your own hell. She's living in her own hell. Your other family members living in their own hell. You come out of your hell, you'll be free. And let them stay in their hell. Most people love their hell. What do you think about that?
Yeah, something to think about.
Yeah. Then you can love God when you forgive. But you can't love God with unforgiveness. That's of the devil. Before you enter into the kingdom, you must go and forgive. And then you won't need your family members to be any kind of way. They can be whatever. You'll be free. Because your world is your world and inside of you. But you got to forgive. That emotional love, human love you feel is hate. It's not love. God's love is a dispassionate love. There's no emotions with it. Satan's love is emotional. It's up and down. You make me feel good, I love you. You make me feel bad, I hate you. I get a good thought, I feel good. I get a bad thought, I feel bad. That's Satan's love. That's not God's love. That's why he said, your thoughts are not my thoughts, your ways are not mine. bring every thought into captivity. You're living in your head. You're living in hell. What are you thinking?
I don't know. I'm just
speaking to the mic for me.
I'm just processing everything you're saying. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, smoke on it. Meaning, let it relax in you, and God will take over. Don't just reject it. You may not understand it now, but don't reject it. Let it go in one ear and out the other. All right? Amazing, huh? I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want you to respond to her about how this young lady here. You wanted to know how when people say they love God, how they know they love God?
Yeah, why is it so easy for people to believe what they say?
Why is it
so easy for people to believe somebody else when they say they know God or they've accepted God into their life?
Well, I don't take that at face value. I look at the person and the fruits of their words, because a lot of people are saying that they love God and proclaiming to be Christians by default.
Before you start to see things a little bit, were you a Bible thumper? You used to believe it when they said it. When they said
I wasn't
they love
a Bible
God.
Thumper.
Oh, good. But when you were a Christian, you believed it, right?
I did.
And why did you believe it then?
I believed it because just that word Christian. You said you were a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, you're my brother. You're my sister. It was an automatic yes. I completely trust that just because they would use certain buzzwords that would cause me to believe, like, oh, you're blessed or you're favored or whatever it is.
Highly favored.
And exactly. And these words would cause me to think. And in fact, I would think some of these people are better Christians than I am. Oh, my
like,
God.
I'm blessed and highly favored. Yeah, right.
Right.
And then they go home and cuss their husband or wife out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're highly favored. Amazing. Okay. Did that help a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw a hand. Was it your hand, girl? Okay.
I just wanted to respond to the scripture about be angry and sin not, that he said. I believe what that meant was that if you're feeling it, you feel that anger, you don't react to it, you don't respond to it. But it doesn't justify having anger. It doesn't say that you should have it or even accept it as normal, but it's saying if you feel it, don't act upon it, is what I think that scripture means.
Don't call it you. It's a spirit in you. That's what Paul was talking about. It's not you. You got to forgive your folks, man. They can't help it. Yes, sir.
I don't think we need this exactly, but there is that scripture in Romans, if you wanted to hear it, about the what you were just saying about we don't know what to pray for.
Right.
Romans 8:26. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans.
Can you repeat that?
We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans.
Will you be still and know the Father? You give up. You have a spirit inside of you, and he will pray on your behalf. He knows what you want. You don't. Just think about the number of women you've been with already all your life, right? And you thought you wanted them. And every time you got them, you wonder, what was I thinking? It was all hell every time. You were giving love, but she wasn't reciprocating. And then you go find a new one, same thing. And then you go find a new one, make a baby with it. Now she takes your baby. Amazing, huh?
Well, I don't got my babies.
Thank God. Yeah, you're blessed. He doesn't have any babies. I saw Frankie. Did I see your hair, Frank? Oh, okay. You taking mine?
Never had a question.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir.
I understand what you're going through because I had that issue in the beginning when I started listening to you. I wanted my family to love me, quote unquote. And I would always question, why don't they change? Why don't they change? And it was until I forgave my mom that I started to change.
Right.
And I stopped caring about what they were doing. They wanted to be however they wanted to be, judgmental and everything. I stopped judging them for what they did. And instead, I decided the only thing I can control is what I feel
right.
and what I can do. And if I'm trying to implement my changes on them, then I'm no better than they are with me.
Nice.
And so little by little, after I forgave my mom, is when I would do my silent prayer. I would get angry about the situation that I was going through. But then out of nowhere, I would just let it go. And I think that dilemma you have, I think everybody has it, because it's hard for the devil to let go of you, and he doesn't want to do it.
Okay, amazing. And there's no such thing as valuing your family. Nobody values their family. When you stop valuing them, then you will value them. But it's all about self. It's not about them at all. Amazing, huh? Yes, sir.
What the gentleman was talking about a moment ago, he reminded me of a joke I heard a while back, like about when he was talking about prayers not being answered and some getting answered and feeling a certain way about it. How do you make God laugh?
What was it?
Tell him your plans. Right.
Oh, amazing.
It's just a funny little joke that reminded me of.
Okay, thanks. I want to deal with the biblical question that I have. Last week, biblical question. What was last week? This week, biblical question?
I'm sorry, I don't remember.
I asked the young man behind you, pass it on to the young man. What was this week, biblical question?
I failed on that because I don't remember.
Pass it on to this young man.
I don't know. I don't know.
Pass on to this young man.
What keeps you attached to the physical, I think?
Right. What connects you with the physical world? What connects you with the physical world?
I believe nothing.
Nothing connects you with the physical world?
Yeah, when I was younger, I would dabble in astral projection, and I noticed that my soul is able to freely travel in and out
of
my physical body. Yeah. So I don't think nothing keeps me here grounded.
Oh, okay. Amazing. What connects you to the physical world?
My physical body.
Meaning what?
So, you know, if somebody, you know, passes away, then your spirit leaves your body, so you're no longer connected to the physical world. But as long as you're in your body, you are connected.
Oh, okay.
To the physical world.
So when God said, be in the world but not of it, he's telling you not to be connected to it.
Yeah, you're in the world, but the way you live your life is you live your life under the authority of another kingdom, which is the spiritual kingdom of the kingdom of God.
Okay. So. This young man in the black sweater dying to respond. I see it all over you. What did you do this, the biblical question?
I didn't listen to it last week.
I'm sorry?
I didn't listen to it last week.
What connects you to the physical world?
I think just people's emotions.
People's emotion connect you to the physical world?
I believe so, yeah.
Meaning what?
So for instance, if you're attached to your family, no matter what they do, no matter what they say, you're always going to have a reaction to it.
Okay.
Aside from not having any emotion towards it, you won't have any reaction towards it.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
A lesson one to respond. I see it all over her. What connects you to the physical world?
Selfishness, I think.
Selfishness?
Yeah.
Meaning what?
Things that I want.
Things that you
want. Yeah, even though I try not to pay too much mind, they're still there. So it's things that I want that still keep me attached to certain things.
Amazing. The young man in the hat want to respond. What connects you to the physical world?
I pondered on it all this week. I couldn't come up with a real true answer, but I'm just going to right off the bat, my thoughts. My thoughts are what connect me to the real world.
How is that?
To the physical world, I'm sorry.
How is that?
All thoughts are lies. And this world is all a lie. We're just a vessel. Our bodies are a vessel. Right? I mean, that's what I came up with, you know.
Okay. What connects you to the physical world?
I would say what the other guy was saying, too, the physical body. But then I was just thinking right now, too, as well, that the Lord connects me to the physical world. He put me here.
How does the Lord connect you to the world when he tells you not to be connected to it?
Well, it said be in it, not of it.
Right, so he but said don't be connected to it.
Okay, well, that's just a different word. We're connected. The Lord put me here. I was born, so I'm connected.
And so you believe that God connects you to the physical world?
Connected me physically by being born physically, if you want to get, you know, the physics of it. But also, you know, he okay. put me here, so he connected me to the physical world. He put me here. I was born, and
okay.
now I'm here physically, but also by order of the Lord.
But he tell you not to be.
Yeah, not to be in it, but be of it, but not in it.
Right. Or, not to be connected.
Not to be, yeah. And we, like the other guy was saying, we live under the kingdom's rules, not the rules of this, you know, hell okay. that is earth.
Okay.
The sin and all that.
Yes, ma'am. What connects you to the physical world?
I think identifying with my physical body, like he said, it's just a vessel, I think, that's holding my spirit, but I'm so identified with it. Like with my flesh, so I think that's what connects me to my physical.
Oh, okay,
world.
Amazing. Joel is dying. I see it all in his eyes. What connects you to the physical world?
I think acceptance, which comes from fear, which comes from the ego. It's gotten more distant over the years, but that's always kind of been like the ongoing, like one of the ongoing biggest, you know. Things to overcome is just this acceptance.
What do you mean by acceptance?
Like, I don't know, growing up, I've always felt like an outcast in a sense where I've always thought a certain way. And when I would speak how I thought, everybody would either feel awkward or they don't want to be around me. So I developed this like protection of my ego. So over time, it just always feels like, oh, be careful what you say because they might reject it. And it's just like this false need for acceptance. So it definitely was a conscious thing growing up, but now it's still like subconscious, meaning like it's, I don't always like live in that, but it's still in the back of my head sometimes. And
that you want to be accepted.
Right. Like oh, okay. it's still kind of there. But I did want to make a quick point, if I can, about the value.
Right.
I realized that when I even value doing right or being right or following God,
right,
it's still a false thing because I'm putting an overimportance on trying to be right or do right, and it's still for the sake of me wanting to feel better. So the idea of value, which comes back to dropping your morals or values, is you should drop him in general because even following God, making that too important, can be a problem in a setup. So
amazing.
Yeah.
Interesting. Frankie, what connects you to the physical world?
I'm kind of thinking that through. And
everybody look at Francisco.
Welcome.
He looked different.
A little.
His mama slapped him. He went dancing, salsa dancing last night, and he would try to dance with all the different women, and they smacked him. His face swollen.
Thank you.
No, he had two word dies.
So I'm kind of thinking it through.
He caught the Joel disease.
Huh? I got hit by my mom, too.
Yeah. Go ahead, Frank.
So I'm thinking it through, and it kind of, the things that I think about, if it's in my mind, I'm in my imagination, and so I'm not in reality. I'm not physically here. I'm physically there, here, but mentally I'm gone, like the crazy people on the street. They're not here. So it would have to be just kind of thinking it through logically. I have to be present and be right here in the moment. And that's what's connecting me to, you know, reality or here. So I'm just kind of thinking it through.
What's connecting you with the physical world?
It's not things, it's a state of being. If, when I am present, then I am connected to the physical world. It's not a car or a house or a thing.
When you're present, you're connected to the physical world?
Yeah, like right now, I'm connected to the present, talking to you right now. That's what's keeping me connected.
Okay. Nick, what connects you to the physical world?
The things I value and I desire. I kind of relate, like someone earlier said, they were saying how they're planning stuff out, they're planning out scenarios to prepare for them, and you asked them to drop that, right? It's like that in multiple levels in my life. If I could just drop trying things and wanting things, that's all keeping me connected.
Amazing. Okay.
I'll leave it like that.
Nice. This young man right here, Sean, what connects you to the physical world?
I want to say nothing, actually, but probably having certain things not overcome yet.
Okay.
Because you kind of will wander off aimlessly in life if you're not working on yourself and overcoming things, whether you're avoiding them or not, wittingly or unwittingly, that's connecting you.
Okay.
To, or at least me, from what I understand, that's what's connecting us to here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing. The young man with the hat want to respond.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't think anything connects me, but I've had like so many answers going through my head throughout this segment. I would say nothing, but just not like accomplishing what I, you know, what I should be accomplishing in life, or you know, like I guess that desire to want to, you know, do more. I guess that's what it is.
Do more what?
Just sometimes I think about death. And I'm just like, man, like, if I die right now, I would hate, like, the condition that I'm in, if I were to die right now. And I'm like, man, like, so sometimes I'm like, man, like, if I, you know, get my life together and I'll be, you know, more prepared, or, you know, I'll be in a better, you know, situation, then I, you know, I wouldn't be connected to the world.
So you'd rather die in a more accomplished than what you are?
Yes.
And then you'll feel better about dying?
yeah. I mean, because that's what connects me to the world. I mean, like, yeah, that's what connects me. Because I'm like, damn, you know, if I die right now, the world will have this impression of me. And I'm like, damn, you know, I don't want that. So
you
I
don't guess want that's what the world to have the wrong impression of you when you die?
Yeah, I just want to be in a better, you know.
And you're thinking that if you have more, the world will have a better impression of you.
Not like
and they would say, "Oh, he died. He was a wealthy man. He was
not like
control."
That, but just like, okay, like I'm just not. I'm in a fallen state, so I don't want to be in a fallen state when I die.
Oh, I see.
So I just, you know, whatever, you know, even if I'm, you know, it doesn't matter what I have. It doesn't have to be anything like tangible or anything. But you know, I don't want to go out like this.
You don't want to go out like what?
Like in the fallen state that I'm in right now.
Oh, I see.
So I guess that's what connects to the world, because like I shouldn't really care.
Okay.
I shouldn't care what, you know, how I go out, but that's what connects to the world, how the world will see me.
Okay. This young man want to respond. And then I'll put my two cents in. What connects you to the world?
Yeah.
What connects you with the physical world?
I kind of go two ways with this, and I'm not really sure. Like my knee-jerk reaction is to think that my attachments to the physical world are honestly mostly just rooted in fears and anxieties that are largely just products of childhood. But then when I'm actually present, when I'm truly present, which doesn't happen often, but when I'm truly present, I feel
like connected. I'm going to use this kind of a silly example. I play a lot of sports because when I'm doing it, I'm in it. I'm like, there are no thoughts, there are no fears, there are no wonders or worries. I'm just doing it. I'm just executing, and I'm like connected to that thing. And I guess like I kind of hit that flow state. So I feel connected in that sense, and kind of not in a positive way, but like in a neutral way. I'm just doing it. I'm living it. But the attachments that I feel, like when I'm on my own or when I'm not like in the midst of action, those kind of feel like a connection also.
You want to be connected?
I don't know.
You don't know if you want to be connected to the world or not?
I don't know if that's what I need. I mean, I've lived my life trying to like be connected.
Be connected.
In different ways, and I don't know that this is exactly working.
So you live your whole life trying to be connected to the world, but it's not working?
I guess so, yeah.
Amazing. What a mess, huh? Yes, sir.
Yes. What connects me to the world?
To the physical world.
Physical world. My goodness, it's all your thoughts, feelings, and emotions, which you say we shouldn't be a slave to, but all my thoughts, feelings, and emotions connect me to the world. So I guess by doing that, I dig my own grave, I guess.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Did you answer that already? What connects you to the physical world, with the physical?
Well, I don't need to be connected to the physical world, and I don't want to be connected to the physical world. However, I am connected until I overcome completely and have linked arms with the devil, as by way of saying I'm connected to it, through the things that I enjoy. Which would be traveling and, you know, home items, clothes, things like that. But I know that I shouldn't be. And I know that that is purely the devil's territory that keeps me connected to it.
So material things like that keep you connected?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And why don't you let it go?
I am. Oh, I'm overcoming it. I am. I've come a long way since I started with you here almost, I think, 2 years now, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing. What connects you to the physical world, Shar?
I agree with Nick. He said values. My values connect me to the physical world. When I think of my own values, they're all physical things, you know? So the things that I, you know, get some sort of sense of enjoyment out of or something, they're all physical.
Give me an example of your values, if you can.
Like I said on the show, you know, like the... like the fall, like the autumn, you know, in the Northeast, you know, is something I value, you know, like a nice cup of coffee, you know, something I value.
I see.
A nice, I don't know, a nice game of billiards.
That's so white, huh? That's so white. Don't you know what billiards
are? Yeah. a nice well-struck golf ball.
Those things connect.
You know what I mean? This guy knows what I mean.
Oh, okay. What connects you, Hake?
I think like nostalgia and.
Who is that? That's that new girl you started dating?
I plead the fifth. I don't dox.
You just said her name.
Not meant to be a pun. Just my.
What's nostalgia?
Nostalgia is like a feeling of wanting something from the past or something.
Oh,
or
okay.
Connecting a surrounding or an environment or an action, going to a restaurant or whatever with memories of friends and stuff like that.
Oh, I got you.
So, like, I think about how I like to go to the beach on Saturdays, and I kind of, like, don't want to miss that. And so I feel like that's one of the connections is this seeking after fun or pleasure or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that keeps you connected to the world?
Connected with it. Like I,
right, with the world?
Yeah.
Why don't you let it go? Do you want to let it go or you like being connected with it?
It's like a love-hate. Like I like doing that stuff. I like having the fun and stuff like that. But it's also a trap because if I keep on chasing that, then my life goes out of balance and then it goes kind of bad.
Right.
So I kind of know that I should let it go within my mind, and then hopefully I can still do it, but so I don't know. So I'm not sure if I want to let it go, but I kind of know that I should let it go. But spiritually. You're not sure
you, but you're not sure if you want to.
Yeah, it's weird.
I'm sorry?
I said, yes, it's weird.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Amazing. What connects you with the world?
I couldn't come up with nothing. Nothing connects me to the world. I went down the list. I'm like, people, places, things, nature, even my body, nothing connects me.
So you're not connected to the world?
No.
And how did you unconnect with it?
I don't know if I was ever really connected. Probably just like maybe getting to know myself and understanding that I'm a spirit and I'm not a thing. I'm not even my body. Maybe that would be
Did you say you weren't really ever connected to it?
I don't think so. Maybe I thought that I was connected to it, but all along I probably really wasn't.
Oh. Okay. Interesting. Yes, sir. Thank you. That's amazing. Yes, sir.
Of course, I believe that, you know, all of us sitting here, you know, we're not disembodied spirits, so I think we're all connected to the physical world. But the gentleman that was talking about doing things that bring him pleasure or fun or whatever, I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, having enjoyment or pleasure or fun as long as it's, you know, in balance and it's not anything that's in conflict with Scripture.
Oh, okay. When you are angry at your folks, are you in conflict with the Scriptures?
Well, that's the change of the subject. I was just responding to what he was saying about pleasure, or, you know.
Okay. Have you ever had pleasure in your life before?
Yes.
But how did you have the pleasure if you were not connected to the world?
I would say through my physical body.
Oh.
Through my physical body. But then when I thought about, like, when I really thought about, like, because I did think, like, maybe it's my physical body that connects me to the world. But understanding, learning, and growing every day and staying present, I'm understanding that I'm not my physical body. My physical body is just the housing for my spirit. So I would think that the pleasure that I've had, and I do still enjoy things, but...
You have pleasure?
I have enjoyment. But it's pleasure? Through the physical.
You get pleasure.
Pleasure. I don't know if I would call it pleasure.
What do you call it? Non-pleasure that feel like pleasure?
I would just call it maybe appreciation. Like things that, like going to the beach and just standing in front of the ocean. And that's another.
Did you see hate down there?
No, we go to different beaches, I think.
Oh.
But even like a couple of people said that being present is what connects them to the physical. And I was thinking about that. And for me, it seems like the opposite. For me, it seems like being present is what connects me to God.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes. Jesse, your hand,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just thinking
too, as everybody's going around, but thinking about my answer is that I don't even think it's so much of like acceptance or fear or any other thing. It's more of the feeling attached to those things that it's hard to let go. Like the idea of the ego fully dying is the thing that's really keeping me connected for whatever reason. But I realize it's none of those things. It's just the feeling that comes from, whether it be pleasure or fear or whatever, it's the feeling of it that is the sticky part, not these words that are attached to it. But anyway.
Do you still have pleasure? You get pleasure?
I mean, sure.
What?
Sure.
What?
But I don't know if it's the
Did
same
you
thing
you're sure?
talking about.
What?
I don't know.
So what?
I feel like yours has an agenda, and I don't know about it.
No, that's what you're talking about. What do you mean? Do you think of pleasure?
But yeah, sure, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you said sure, but you said sure.
No, sure.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh.
Yes, ma'am. What's your name? You still get, what connects you to the world? Did I ask you already?
Yeah.
Oh, I did. Okay. Let me tell you this. One thing only connects us to the world is thoughts. That's the only thing that connects us. And you were right about it. It's a thought. Overcome the thought, you won't be connected to the world. And God said that all thoughts are all lies all the time about anything. Bring every thought into captivity. Overcome thought, you overcome the world. That's the only thing that keeps us connected. And that's why he wants us to live a thoughtless life. We're not supposed to be living in thoughts. You're supposed to be thought-free. Except practical thought, which you got to have a dinner, you know, that kind of stuff. Go to work. But you don't live by that. You do that. That's a talent, a provider on the earth. But that's the only thing, is thoughts. Your thoughts are your enemy all the way. And the hardest thing in the world for people to overcome are the thoughts. And that's why God said, be in the world, but not of it. And overcome thought, you will no longer be of the world. And all this hell that's going on in the world around you, you will be unmoved by it because you would never be thinking about it. You will look at all the bad stuff on the news, and you will look at all the different groups fighting one another, and you will see how they all have taken on an agenda. They want to stop the abortion people. The abortion people want to stop the anti-abortion people. The Christians want to stop the Muslims. The Muslims want to stop the Christian and the Jews. Stop thinking about that. You won't want to stop anyone. You will leave them in their hell. But your thoughts, which are not your own, make you think you're better. Make you think you know, and you don't. What? Oh, Bill, you want to say something? Go ahead, Bill. Oh, this is good.
I don't know. No, I was thinking that I think our resentments come from our old. I mean, what you're talking about? What'd you say it was again?
What connects you to the world?
What connects us to the world?
The physical world.
What connects us to the world is all our old resentments and our solutions that came from them.
But once you overcome resentment, you're no longer of resentment.
Right, but you still have all your old. You still have all your old solutions that you had that you were caught up with.
You still have the old thoughts. You don't have the solution. You have the thoughts about the solution. But if you let the thoughts go, and then you're going to see that the anger is not yours anyway. And so you stop identifying with anger, because the heart has changed from anger to love. And then he's wiping away all the thoughts, which is the nature of the devil. So your thoughts are
about... But you still have all your old beliefs and stuff kind of still... It's like it's all still there. Unless it comes up again. And you're able to see different. you know, at that point.
But when you let go of the thoughts, you don't have no belief anymore either. It's the devil that's reminding you of the old belief. It's not you, it's not God. But the devil reminds you of it, and if you believe it, you overreact, so you relive it. But if you just saw the thought and watched it and don't overreact, but just relax and just look at it, it would fade away. And eventually, those thoughts of the old thing will pass away, and you don't even think about them. The devil can't even tempt you with them anymore. It's just a thought. It's not because your belief about it doesn't mean that that's what's really happening. You think about it, and then you overreact to it, and it feels like it's happening, but it's not. What do you say to that? While you're thinking, you can think about something that happened 50 years ago and it feels like it's happening right now, if you believe into it. That was 50 years ago, which doesn't even exist. You can think about something that happened yesterday and it either feel good or feel bad, but it doesn't even exist anywhere, but in the thought.
Well, yeah.
And that's what the devil does. He reminds you because he wants you overreacting to keep him alive in your body and mind. What do you say about that?
I don't have anything to say about that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah.
Run back in your little hole over there. Yeah, sure.
I mean, the only reason why we believed the thoughts in the first place when we were young is because we had the resentment.
Yes.
So those were those, you know, so-called...
That is such a good point.
So-called solutions that we came up with. The only reason why we believed those is because we had that, the anger.
Because before you became angry, you didn't believe it. You would forgive. Just like whatever happened, you just let it pass when you were a kid. But the moment you became angry, you went into your imagination and it stuck. And you start reliving it and reliving it and reliving it. You become old, reliving something that doesn't even exist. It's not even real. And it's the devil that's reminding you. Yes, Nick.
You know, it's true. I know it's true what you're saying. Like, I think about what James said. If he had no thoughts, he could go to the beach every day.
Yeah.
And his life would not go unordered because he would not overdo it.
Yeah.
And if you had no thoughts, someone could put you in a box. You know, for those that are saying, you know,
yeah.
Some people say they're not connected. Someone could put you in a box and take away everything and you would be fine.
I had a young man that I would maybe just call me one day. And he had been listening to me since he was a teenager. He committed a crime, and he went to prison, and they locked him away in those rooms where you stay by yourself for months. He had no material, no books, or nothing to read, no music, no nothing. But he remembered hearing me say that, let the thought about it pass, and it was paradise, and it locked away like that. He had no, it was paradise. They couldn't believe how he came out smooth and happy. He said most people scream and yell and knock, and they don't even have a bed in there for you, maybe a mattress or something, he said. But because he didn't get into his head about it, it was no problem for him. It saved his life. It's the thought. Those thoughts are not from God. Those thoughts are of the devil. And I want to tell you, did I see your hand? No? Oh, okay. I want to define the devil for you. I want to define the devil so you understand his nature. Anyone that get lonely is of the devil. Those are little demons in your mind and body, pretending to be you, speaking and sounding like you, but those are demons. You're of your father, the devil. That's the nature of the devil. Anyone that get angry is of the devil. That's the nature of the devil. Anyone that get revengeful is of the devil. Jealousy is of the devil. You got all these layers and layers of devils and demons inside your imagination and emotion. Anyone that goes up and down emotional is of the devil. And the devil don't want you to know that's his nature. He doesn't even like the fact that I'm defining his nature right now for you. Because you have so identified with the devil's nature that he loved living in you, and he's been living in you by deceiving you, making you feel like it's you. You feel the pain in your body, so since you feel the pain in your body, then it must be you. It must be me. Anyone that get married and try to get love from their husband or wife is of the devil. Because husband and wife don't have love to give. That's why they get mad at one another, because when you were dating, it felt like you loved me, and I felt like I loved you. Now we're married, all that is gone, and you're just trying to get more love from me, and I'm trying to get it from you, and a war is happening because neither one of you have to give. But if you love what was right more than anything else, you wouldn't try to get love from the other person. You would be of love already, of the nature of God. And so if the other person didn't love you back, you wouldn't even know they didn't love you back, because nothing would be missing. You would already be of love. Your need would be met. And so you would love them unemotionally. It would be a dispassionate love without them having to love you back. And there would be no war. I know couples at war because they tried to get love. Well, they didn't treat me that way when we were dating. They said they loved me when we were dating. I'm like, no, that was sex. That was not love. And they would call it sex love, because sex felt good, a thrill. Anyone that think they need to protect themselves, that there's someone there to protect, is the nature of the devil. There's no one there to protect. Zero. That's the nature of Satan. And there are all his little demons, and they have these different names. Oh, I have to protect my reputation. You have to respect me. Anyone that think they need respecting is of the devil. That's the nature of the devil. You think God needs you to respect him? Not at all. Anyone, and I'll get to you in a minute, buddy. Anyone that cries over their heartaches and difficulty is of their father, the devil. That's not you crying. That's the devil crying in you. Because you want something, you want sympathy, you want something. You want to feel like the victim, so you cry. You want to feel like something, so somebody says, oh, poor you. You think God cares about you crying? When you're on your knees crying to God, you know what he's doing? He and his son are up there having a cafe mocha. And they're looking at you on your knees crying. They're like, look at that idiot. What the? And they know all, you're on your knee, boo-hooing and crying to God, and you love the thrill of crying to God. So he know you're satisfied with your thrill of crying. Poor me. My baby done left me. My baby gone. Dun, 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 dun. She done left me. Dun, dun. And you're crying. It's all ego. It's the nature of the devil. God don't need you to be crying to come unto him. You don't need to be crying. You don't need to be worried. Anyone that worry has the nature of the devil. Anyone that's shy has the nature of the devil. Anyone that judges themselves or feel guilty, you have the nature of the devil. That's the nature of evil. All these layers and layers of demons that's been called everything but demons. They've been called these names to cover up the fact that it's evil. It's of the devil. That's the nature of the devil. Anyone that feels like if somebody cuss you out, or if your wife or your husband leave you, they left you. They didn't leave you. But because you are connected to them trying to get something, you feel like they left you. You should be able to say, okay, bye. See you later. You want the kids? Take them. The man or the woman. You don't need to go to court. You can have these little brats. They messed up anyway. I don't want this problem. We done created. We have created. You can have them. Okay, I pay you $100 a month. Keep them. You don't need a lawyer. You don't need anything. But you're of the devil. You think you're losing something. And you're not. You're gaining more problems. We should never... All these identities are not us. That is the nature of the devil. Anyone that feels like... And I want you to let people disrespect you so you can get the feeling and die from it. Let them just... Who are you that you should be respected anyway? You're nobody. You just think you're somebody. So when somebody disrespects you, now you just disrespect a somebody. I'm important. What are you disrespecting me for? I remember I debated this woman that's in politics, well, she's retired now, up in Sacramento. And when it was my time to go up, and I said, I don't agree with anything this woman's about. I didn't say senator or whatever her name was. I just said her name. She had a fit. Turn off his mic. I'm a senator. I was like, forget about you. I'm a senator. You have to call me senator this. I just looked at her like she was crazy. Went on my message. She had a fit through the whole talk, screaming and yelling. He didn't call me senator. She was so attached to that. All the senator does is tell you what kind of work you're doing. That's not who you are. That's the devil. Anyone that thinks is of your father, the devil. Because when you stop thinking, this is so good. When you stop thinking, God's going to give you the proper thinking of how to do what you need to do your work, to do your job. He will give you the proper thinking, but the devil will give you all the wrong thinking. You're of the devil. All this stuff you're calling you, the feeling that Joel was describing that he grew up with, and that's the nature of the devil. And it's still locked in his mind. That's why he sometimes think about it. But here's what I recommend. Practice this. When thoughts come, look at them. Be aware of them. Look at those thoughts, and they'll fade away. And then when they come back again, they will have no effect on you. Because they are demons passing through you. And they look at them and shake, but stay looking at them, and they would disappear. And then the next time they come, it'll be mild. And then the next time they come, you won't feel nothing about them. And then they have to go find a home in somebody else because you're not giving it life by reacting to it. And when you are present, you're not connected to the world. When you're present, you're disconnected from the world. It's when you're thinking about the past or the future, you're connected to the world. Satan is in time. God is in no time. There's no time in him. It just is. And likewise, it's in us, but it's up here. It's not down here. It's up here. The highest state of consciousness, one mind of God. So you want to live up here, but you got to practice watching those thoughts. You see, I saw a man, I think he was at the gym. He had on a dress at the gym. You can tell he was a man. He had on buku makeup, tall, big old thing on his neck. Yeah. What do you call that thing?
Adam's apple.
Adam apple. He had Adam and the apple and the tree. And if you were not of the devil, you would have looked at him and understood. It wasn't him. It's those spirits that's in him. But if you have the nature of the devil, you're going to laugh at him, make a mockery of him, so you can feel like your mess is fine. And it's a lack of love and lack of understanding. These people possess too. It's spirits. It's the thoughts. It's the spirit. You got to stop identifying with thoughts. And everything else will vanish. When thoughts disappear, you're free. And it's going to be amazing to be free. Yes, sir.
So,
hold on for the mic, buddy.
Regarding what you were saying about loving and respecting, so
you know, I think it's in Corinthians. It says, husbands, love your wives, right, as Christ loves the church.
Yes.
And then it says, wives, respect your husbands. So there is supposed to be love in human relationships and respect.
Right.
And thoughts, you know, it says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord.
I'm sorry?
What's the, try to remember where, what chapter or what it's in, but I know the thought, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord.
I know the thoughts that I think towards you,
says the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil.
Right.
To give you a future and a hope. So God has thoughts for us, so I think we should also have thoughts for ourselves and for each other.
But he tell you not to take no thought for tomorrow. No thought for what you want, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. No thoughts. I'll take care of those things. And he will. And then when you love your wife, it's not you loving your wife. It's a love. You have overcome that fallen love, which is the nature of the devil, that emotional stuff that requires you to get love back when you love them. You have God's love, and you are loving your wife. And your body is the temple of God. And so he is in you, loving through you, so you are loving your wife the way that he loved you. But if you are loving her emotionally, you're loving her the way the devil loves, which requires that you got to love me back. You got to give me something to get it. But in him, there's nothing required from the other person at all, because you have it all. And then your wife, if she's working on herself too, she's going to love you because she's loving you with God's love as well. And she sees that you're a son of God, and she sees the love coming through you. And so you will have a marriage that will last until death do you part, because neither one of you are trying to get anything from each other. It'll work. It'll be perfect. And he said, take no thoughts at all. But because human beings have identified with thoughts, someone mentioned kids, we identify with the thoughts when we were a kid, when our mother make us angry and turn us away. We identify with the thoughts. We think we are the thought because we grew up our whole life in our imagination. This is we escape when we were traumatized by mama, and we escape into thought trying to survive. But as an adult, we're responsible to come out by seeing that something's wrong. That make sense? What do you think about that?
I'm saying, you know, it's kind of, I'm trying to process what you're saying because, you know, it's kind of different, so.
I'm sorry?
It's kind of different, so I'm trying to process what you're saying.
And it's all in the Word. Read the New Testament, it's all there. It's all there. Remember when Paul said that the thing I want to do that are good, I can't, and the things I don't want to do, I do, I figure it's not me, it's something else in me? He's talking about that. Sin made a home in the mind. His thoughts are not his own. Overcome thoughts. It's just an illusion. And you'll be able to deal with anything. Wars are starting. Why do you think our governments start war? They're in their head. They want something, and they try to get it by making up stuff, hating one another, starting war. And then we have to pay the price for it. Let go of your illusion. But you got to work on yourself. You got to watch the illusion. And then God will put a bubble around you and protect you from the world. Yes, Sean.
I was just going to say, all those like lines we draw as far as, you know, respect or even like loneliness, you say, okay, you know, after this point, you know, I might start feeling lonely. Like if I don't have this on this party on Friday night, then I'll start feeling lonely. Or if this person doesn't act a certain way, if they go past this point, I'm going to feel disrespected. We don't make those either. We don't make those lines in our life. And it's just like a person who is, you know, quote unquote, in an addiction. And they say, you know, on the first of this month, I'm going to stop. You know, like they don't make that either. And it never works out. It just makes it worse.
Absolutely.
So those are the things we don't make.
They don't draw no lines. You don't need to do anything. Do nothing. Just live. Let go and live. Let go of your ideas and let go of your plans and let go of everything. And then they say your mother do crazy stuff. Don't fuss, don't yell at her. And take the pain of not yelling, because that's the devil. That's the nature of the devil. He wants you to fight. Let go. But you got to watch those thoughts, because the light of God that allow you to see the thought will destroy them. But you got to watch them. You got to see them through. You can't go unconscious when they come, because unconscious is life unto the devil. He wants you unconscious. He hates you. And he wants to destroy you. And your real family are those who are truly, truly born again of the Spirit of God. Not the Bible thumpers, not the one quote the word, not the one that go to church, but those who truly. The blood family is not your family. They're not special. They're not your family. That's why they don't get along. Because they hate one another. They're about self. And that's the nature of the devil. The nature of the devil is all ego, and it's all about self. Because the example you gave, and then I want to take Joel first and then here. And I think that's what you had. The nature of the devil is, my brother treat me well. My dad is this for me. My dad is that. And so I really value them, right? But if you were not of your imagination, you would respect them anyway. Even if they were the worst of the worst, because you would know it's not them. It's truly not them. So you would neither value nor devalue them, because you would have no thought about it. You wouldn't think, oh, I value my parents, or look at them, I devalue them. You would have no thoughts. There would be no up or down, no down, no up, no nothing. All right.
I agree.
Yes, Joe.
Yeah, I think what the man is saying, and I think that we can all relate, or can't, it's happened to us before, is that the crazy thing in the setup is that Satan has imitated everything that's of God to make it seem like it's God. So thoughts, anger, the anger that God has and the thoughts that God has is not the same thoughts that we feel or the thoughts that we have. Because he imitated everything, and he makes us believe, oh, well, the Bible says thoughts. The Bible says have anger.
He read the word, and the word said have thoughts. Thoughts. He's like, oh, okay, let me come up with some thoughts.
So we believe, exactly.
And they're not God's thoughts.
Right. We identify with the wrong idea of what these words mean. So
that's a good point, because you read the scripture, and the scripture says, be angry and sin not. But Satan's going to tell you it means something else intellectually. He's going to tell you it means this. And then the preacher's going to say, yeah, that's what it means, because the preacher ticked. The Pope ticked. And so you were, well, that's the Pope. He's a preacher. He has a title. He must be right. And then now you walk around and say, well, I got human nature of hate. That's not what God means. Not at all. Just think about it. God's not even judging us. He doesn't see us as sinners. He doesn't see us as good or bad, right or wrong, because he knows that something else is driving us. It's not even us. We've been bought and paid for. All of our sins have been wiped away. And what does a Christian walk around and say? Oh, I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. I'm not this. They work along with the devil. Christ said, it's done. Your sins have been wiped away. That means you're not a sinner. If he had wanted you to stay a sinner, he would have left you in the Old Testament. You would still be living that. And that's what people in their heads are doing. They're living the Old Testament. They're living in hell. And they hate one another. They're jealous of one another. They're biting with one another, revengeful, unforgiving, carrying on, because they're in the Old Testament, in the imagination. The devil has been defeated. He has no power. Christ said, it's done. He went down and destroyed death. There's no death, but one death, and that's of the ego. That's the only death. And then I'll say this, and we're winding down. I was counseling with this young guy. He's in his 20s. He lives in another state. And I remember a while back, I had told you guys that he was telling me that he was being quiet during the prayer one day and just sitting there watching thought. And all of a sudden, it felt like this fear overwhelmed him. And it felt like everything he thought he was disappearing. It was, and it was leaving his body. And it felt like it was leaving nothing for him to identify with anything. But he freaked out because he became afraid, which is it's the devil. But he became afraid, and he like, oh my God, what's going on? I'm crazy. And he like, I'm not doing this anymore. So he went back to smoking pot and everything. Because he tripped out. He didn't know what to do with it. Well, I was talking to him the other day, this past week, and the same thing happened again because he said that he was just sitting there doing the prayer, just watching thought. And all of a sudden, it felt like he had jumped out of an airplane without a parachute. And he could just feel himself going away, like everything was just disappearing. And he felt that there was nothing to hold on to, no identity. He felt empty, like there was nothing. And he was just going down. He had no parachute. He had jumped out of his plane. He said, but the fear was too much to handle. He was overwhelmed with fear until he made himself snap out of it. He couldn't handle the fear of it. But that's the death of the devil, I told him. The devil, fear, anyone that has fear is the devil. You are the devil. The devil is fear. And if you have fear, you are the devil. And the devil fear dying, leaving your body. And so he said, you know, I tripped out again because the fear was overwhelming. Everything was leaving me, he said. And I'm just sitting there watching it. And he tripped out. He stopped it again. It's so deep. I may have him come on the radio, but not let y'all see his face and use a fake name. But it was his testimony about dying from the ego. I've never heard it, and it's so clear. But he was afraid to die, and it wasn't him, it's the devil. The devil has fear, and if you have fear, you are the devil. And I'm not talking about fear. You don't want to get hit by a car, right? You don't want to go into the hood and get shot. That's natural. Protect yourself. Practical fear. I'm talking about the fear that's in your emotions and your thoughts. Yes, sir.
Is there any scripture any scripture that you have to back up what you said? If you have fear, you are the devil. Because none of us brought our Bibles, I guess. But I don't see that.
He said that fear. God is not a fear. Fear is not of God. Something like that. It's not of God. So anyone that have fear is of the devil. The devil has fear. God does not have fear. Oh, God does not give you a spirit of fear. That's in the Bible too.
So, yeah, it's true that God has not given us a spirit of fear.
Right.
But it also says, like I said, I should have brought my Bible, but because I can't remember every scripture, but just because we have fear doesn't necessarily mean that we are the devil.
Yes, you are, because the devil is of fear. And anyone that's of fear is of their father and the devil. You're the devil one. It's not of God. And our battle is a spiritual battle, warfare between good and evil. Either you're of God or you're of the devil. There's no gray area. There's nothing else left. What else is there left?
I don't know. I think it would be helpful to actually be able to read the scripture directly in context before, because it's kind of hard to discuss it without having the Bible physically in front of me so I can read it in context.
But you read it and you're still confused.
That's because I need to, because we're getting kind of deep and I don't have the physical copy of the Bible with me, so it's kind of hard
but
to
you have the
go
spirit,
deeper.
You have the Spirit of the Father inside of you. The truth is already with you.
But I also need to have the written word in order to.
And you do have it.
In order to. Iron sharpens iron, right? But we have to have the written word too in order to do
but
that.
But you do have it, and it's written on your heart.
And I also need to have the physical copy of the word with
Why?
Me, too.
There's nothing wrong with reading the Bible, but why you need to have it if it's already written on your heart? Why not live by that?
Because, like I said, I can't remember. If I can remember it, you know, word for word, photographic memory, then it wouldn't be necessary.
Thank God you can't remember word for word. You should be jumping up, running through this building, shouting, hallelujah, I can't remember. Because that's what the devil used against you, your intellect. He quote the Bible. He remind you, but it's all lies. He's not telling you the truth. He's deceiving you with the word of the Bible. It's written in our heart where the devil cannot deceive you. Is your first time here?
Yeah.
Oh, what's your first name?
Elvin.
Welcome, man. Here's what I recommend you do. Keep reading the word. Keep doing your little hoover to holler in prayer. I want you to do the silent prayer. God said, be still and know God, know him. I want you to give it a try. Let me know what you think about it. But so do your little begging. You know, God bless my family. They're mean and nasty, and evil family, but bless them anyway. God bless my whatever, right? Give me a house. Do that, and when you're done with that, be still and know God. So give it a silent. Are you familiar with the silent prayer yet? You heard me talk about it?
Silent prayer?
Yeah. How did you find us?
I was listening to KKLA last night at like sometime after 2 in the morning.
Oh, KTLA.
KKLA, yeah.
Right. Oh, okay. Nice. I want you to, since it's your first time, I want you to doubt me. Just let what I've said go in one ear and out the other. Because I want you to see it for yourself. Then you'll have it. You'll know it to be true. So I want you to, I recommend you do your little prayer and the word, read the word, do your prayer. God, thank you and all that. And then be still. Get out a try. Come back and let me know what you think.
All right.
And what you think about it. All right? Amazing, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, Sean. There was something that, without going deeply into the men's forum, there was something you want to clear up today. Do you remember what that was?
I think I already said it.
Oh, okay.
But what he just said reminded me of that quote we had on the show a while back. It said, beware of unearned wisdom. Like, unearned wisdom isn't good for you because it just exists in your head without you knowing it to be true. Like, it's just words in your head. So that's what all those scriptures reminded me of.
Absolutely. Any questions about what you've heard so far, any disagreements or anything? Okay, and then?
In terms of the physical attachment to the world, so I enjoy, you know, like Hake, I love the beach. You know, I'm there every day in the summertime.
You see Hake
I like
down travel. There?
I haven't yet.
You see Donna down there?
We go to the same beach, but not yet.
Oh.
But I'm like there every day. It's like a ritual. I have my things packed in the, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I love traveling. I enjoy traveling and things like that. So in order to do those things without being attached to them, you're saying once you plan, you know, you get the ticket, for example, if you're traveling or I plan what I'm taking to the beach, be done with the thinking about it and just do it and that's it.
Don't try to get a thrill from it. It'll be amazing.
Okay.
Don't try to get an identity from it. Like, oh, the beach just feels so good. I'm so earthy. I look around me and I look at the wide oceans and I just see God's glory. Oh, I look at the trees and I know there is a God. Those people are lying.
Right.
They didn't get a thrill from something they heard, right? Why can't you look at the tree without feeling anything about the tree? Then you will see the real life in the tree, right? So just go to the beach, lay out your thing. Don't try to get a thrill.
Okay.
And when you're done with the beach, you're done with the beach.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You don't have to go home and think, oh, that beach was so good. I can't wait to go tomorrow.
Right.
I just got such a thrill from the beach. It's a false identity.
Okay. And the last thing I wanted to say is I believe, and I may be mistaken, that Elvin exemplifies most of us because of the fact that we've been lied to for so long.
Every human being must be born again.
Right. Everyone. And I've never, I mean, in all the decades I've been living, I've never heard anything like this. So it is very, I mean, of course, we're all different. When I first heard what you're saying, I immediately, it resonated, but I can relate to the people who have to process it and
right.
where they need
Me
to,
too.
You know, ponder it, because it is different and it's a complete deviation from what, you know, we've learned. So just wanted to mention that.
And yet it is not different, because when they read the Bible at the church, they'll read what we're talking about.
Right.
But it's just all intellectual. Yeah. And they're not, you're not, and if you're not like really wanting to understand, you're caught up with what the preacher's saying and the reading, and intellectually you identify with that and you think that's the answer. And you get stuck in hell. But you're supposed to let it go in one ear and out the other. Hold on to nothing. Don't hold on to anything, and life will happen. I want you to just think about this in closing. It's just a thought. That's all it is. It's just a thought, and then all these emotions come with the thought. You can think that you know God, and you get this warm, fuzzy feeling, I know God. And with just a thought, and then that feeling passed, now you're back with the devil. And, and while you're saying that you know God, you're with the devil anyway. Because thinking that you know God is the devil. There's no thinking about God at all. You can't even think about God. Just imagine that. When you think about God, you're thinking with the devil. You're thinking about the devil, calling him God. You can't think about God. You can't think about him. And don't even say to yourself, I'm looking for God, because that's another thought, another word. Now you got to feel like you're not looking at times. But if you just look without giving a title to it, you're fine. You already have it. It's already there. You got to let go of thoughts. Yes, sir. Last word.
I've been really noticing, because I watched you for 3 years, but I've been making some amazing progress the last couple months, especially being here. Standing outside myself, watching the thoughts go by, and really everything is attached to those thoughts. The thought is what sparks any emotion. And what I'm noticing also is that all the emotions are worthless. Like, so what I'm doing is removing my personality and expectations, removing like the anger, violence, and depression by just watching those thoughts go by. But
oh,
also,
let me just say that. That's another nature of the devil. Anyone that's depressed, that's the nature of the devil. You are of the devil.
Same thing as anger.
Anyone that has post-traumatic stress disorder, they're naming an evil, a fancy name, but that's evil. You're of the devil.
So what I've been doing is noticing that all the emotions are detrimental, and so I'm just letting them all go and kind of just going to a simple love, not even a passionate love, just a simple love, not hating or loving anybody out there, just being and no more emotions of love or up and down. And
when
just,
you say you're standing outside of yourself, what do you mean by that?
Standing outside my personality, my person, and just watching the thoughts. In my mind, it looks like the thoughts going into my head and out, but I see myself as a full figure, but I see those thoughts coming in. And normally I grab onto them, and then emotions happen. I'm not grabbing onto none of them.
You're standing outside of yourself.
I stand outside as a third person observer outside my life, outside my personality. I stand outside my personality.
There
watch
is no
the thoughts.
Self to stand outside of. You don't exist.
The egoless self, my soul self.
There's nothing to stand outside of.
I disagree on that, because I stand outside, watch the thoughts go by, and it's not going through my head. I'm watching them go through. But I'm not there. I'm not there to hold on to the thoughts. I'm outside of that.
So the person that's standing outside of himself, what does that person look like?
Nothing. It's absence. It's like God. It's absent of everything except for like a dispassionate love. That's it.
Oh, but I just
it's
do
good.
What you
no
want
details,
with it.
No details. Nothing complex. It's simple. No complexity of emotions, anger, or love, or all this. It's nothing. It's an absence. It's just like a nice, dispassionate, simple
let me do
love.
This. There's no self to set outside of, because there's no you.
Well, maybe there's that's no what you. It is. Maybe it's just words. It's just maybe that's
yeah.
the absence
Drop
of me
that.
Looking at thoughts going through Darren's head and going, I'm not grabbing on any of that crap, and I'm not going to have any of the emotions and not having any emotion anymore, just letting it go down and down and down. So instead of up and down, now I'm just like a pretty steady plateau.
I got it now because
and
of
it's been nice. So I'm saying The thoughts are the key for everything. Gotta let them go.
Thank you. Did I see your hair?
Yes. I had a moment, like you said, with the guy jumping off the plane. And right now, I was going to ask you in private, but I feel this is the best time. I had a moment like that on Tuesday, and I never had that issue where I felt that, I finished my silent prayer in the morning, and then out of nowhere, I just heard this voice that said, "Who are you now? What do you have?" And I panicked, and I've never felt that feeling, but I was panicking, and I didn't know what to do. And it was until, it was like at 5:30 in the morning, then the show started. And then I just heard your voice and how you start, how the music starts on the radio show. And it brought me down. I was like, dude, stop. I was like, and I caught myself like, cheeky devil. Like, you try to get me, because I feel that the more I work on myself, the less there is of what I am. And okay. And I had this panic attack.
Don't put any work in this. And yet you put work. You work by being aware of the thought. That's all you need to do. And as the thoughts are disappearing, you are naturally overcoming the world. You can't make this happen on your own. I can't make it. No one can make it happen, right? You just need to be aware of this dark world inside of your imagination and not call it you. And so when situations happen, just watch. When thoughts happen, just watch. That's all you need to do. Be a watcher of the not you. What do you think about, in closing, what do you think about the identity of the devil that I talked about today?
I think ultimately it's interesting. But ultimately,
speak up a little bit for me.
Yeah, ultimately it's just your thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you starting to catch those thoughts?
I have been for quite some time now.
Oh, good. Yeah. And how's that going for you?
It's pretty good. I mean, ultimately it feels empty because you don't really, your thoughts come in and your feelings come in, but then you just let them go.
Yeah.
Go about your life, and that's pretty much it.
It's so amazing. And I'm not even way where I want to be with it, right? But it's amazing to live a life without thinking, period, except for practical thought, and life happens. It's like it just happens. And the thing that happened is nothing you thought about, but it's perfect. That's what's so interesting about it. I really didn't know you could live a life with no thing, but it makes sense now. When you read the Bible, it talks about that. You want to want for nothing, come out, bring every thought into captivity. It's interesting how life would... All your old habits fall away. Everything just fall away. And then it's replaced with, it's like it's already there. You just didn't see it. The perfect life is already there. But you're living in the darkness of imagination. Amazing, huh? Last word, real short and fast.
When you were saying about the devil, I think everything is 100% that you said, and it's, he is fighting for your soul. Like, that is, like, I don't know why that doesn't hit, like, so hard. I mean, I do understand because I've been in the same place. But if you think about, this is your soul. This is if you live on for eternity or you just continue to be miserable.
Yeah.
Like, and all you have to do is watch the thoughts and
yeah.
Nothing. You can't change yourself. You can't make emotions fall away. That's all coming from the light of God.
Yeah. Just think about that. You already have life, but you're living in death and call it a life. And everybody is miserable because they're living in their head. That's the only reason they're miserable. Because they're living in no other reason. It ain't nobody else's fault. You can't blame anyone. It's your fault because you're in the darkness. And you get mad at other people because you're in darkness. If you weren't in your imagination, they can make you feel that way. It's crazy. Because everyone that lives in it, that has anger and living in their head is crazy. They are crazy. Insane. So go and forgive your mother. Will you do that?
I'll try.
You'll try?
Yeah. But I have to say that,
I think that we all have, God gave us these human emotions.
No, so they're from the devil. I promise you that. God did not give you that at all.
I'm sorry, I don't agree.
I understand.
You know, hopefully, you know, if I can remember to bring my Bible, then I can show some scriptures on that. But
we'll bring the word next time.
All right.
He did not give you human emotions. He doesn't even have human emotion, and his nature is not of that. Why will he give you something that's not of his nature? His love is the light unto your feet. His love causes you to see. It set you free from the darkness, from the wiles of the devil. Smoke on it. You smoke pot?
No.
I don't mean you smoke pot. Don't smoke pot. I'm just saying, reflect on it.
I don't smoke at all, no.
But look at it and see what you come up with. All right? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Oh, okay. So, Joel, what you got from this today?
It really comes down to, and I know you said it, but it's just even a feeling, it all comes down to the thought first.
That's right.
And if you watch the thought, there is no feeling, there is no identity of fear, attachment, or acceptance. It's just all coming from the thought.
Absolutely. Yes, Alessa, what you got from it?
I make a pact with the devil when I choose to entertain whatever it is that I want to entertain. That's exactly what it is. You shake hands with the devil and you say, "You're my friend, I'm with you." And anything after that, it's
just a thought. If you think up, you got to think down. If you think poor, you got to think rich. If you say rich, you got to be afraid of becoming poor. You got to think poor. If you say I'm a loser, now you try to be a winner. If you think you're a winner, now you're afraid of being a loser. It's like when you go play sports. If you just play sports, you're in competition, right, without competing. You're just doing what you love doing, or your talent. You don't think I'm going to win this or lose this. You'll win. And if you don't win the game, you're still a winner because you never thought about losing or winning. You just went out there and did play sport. Joel with his little dancing thing. If he didn't think, I'm going to be the best dancer. I'm going to have the best dance company on this side of earth. He got to work hard to try to get the best dance company. And then by the time he get it, somebody else one is better. And so we're never better enough, right? But if he just did his work every day and learn her little dance steps. And don't compete. Don't have competition in your head. That sets you up to lose. Because even if you win, now you got to think about, I got to win the next one. You're already thinking about, what am I going to do to win the next tournament? And now you're stressed out trying to come up with something new. But if you didn't have the thought about it, there would be no nothing. There's no such thing as winning or losing. So it's just the thoughts, bro. Your thoughts are your enemy. Really. And so watch the thoughts. And I want to encourage you to watch them. And I'm telling you what I'm doing. You got to watch them awareness. You can't go unconscious about them. You got to stay with them and watch them, and they'll fade away. Because when you don't watch them, some of those shock you. You're like, ooh, what the? You know, you think about some horrible stuff you've done, right? And that's the devil reminding you. Just let them pass. Your thoughts are not your own. They're not of God. They're not at all. No thoughts. Except he will give you practical thoughts. And they will be perfect. All right? So do the silent prayer. Forgive your... You're not going to get into heaven until you forgive. Ain't no way around that. Your heart... Salvation is of the heart. It's not of the vices. is of the heart, and the vices come from the devil, which are not your own, right? So to the drag queens and the LGBTQ and the cut off your body part people and the murderers, the rapists, the child sexual people, whatever, stop identifying with those things. They are not you. Don't call them you. One last thing. I met someone that's really, she's a mother, she has some kids, and she's so meek and so nice. If you met her, you want to pour syrup on her with eggs, and so I had to eat her. But inside that home, she is the devil. You meet the kids, they're like, look at mama Oda, act like she's all sweet. Mama is hell. But she seems so nice. The devil is nice. Those nice mothers that seem don't argue out loud and they seem so nice, hell going on in them. They're screwing up the kids. And so, but my point is, it's not you. It's an imagination. So is a man thinking, so as he is. Man or woman, right? So do the silent prayer. Go and forgive your mother. You got to face mama because you're facing the devil. She traumatized you. Now you hate her and you call her love. You're resentful and you call it love. You're angry and you call it love. Go forgive her with no expectation. Forgive your father on earth. That way you can love God. If you don't love your father on earth, you're never going to love God. You can hang it up. All right? So go and forgive. Do the silent prayer and wash those thoughts. Don't give them a name anymore. It's all evil. And we're going to do read the Super Chest tomorrow. Super Chest tomorrow. And don't fight with the devil in your mind or inside of other people. Because your family members or others are going to come after you when they see you waking up. Because the hate in them is going to hate the light in you. All right? So don't argue with them. Don't try to prove anything. Don't argue with the devil. He love it. You don't owe any explanation. There's not one law that says you have to explain anything to anyone. You don't owe anybody an explanation. All right? So I'll see you tomorrow on the radio show. And whatever. No announcement, right, Nick? Okay. Bye. Nice. I done had a biblical question. I forgot. You know what happened?